Hallelujah. So Pastor's been preaching on prayer. He's been preaching on prayer. How many of you enjoyed the prayer sessions? Amen. A lot of different prayers. There's about 11 prayers altogether, and I thank God for every one of those prayers. And I'm not going to be going into detail with the prayers, but there is something that I do want to share with. And that happens to be in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Mark 11, 24 is the prayer of faith, but something that's so close to it is Mark 11, 23. And Mark 11, 23 has a lot to do with prayer, and it has a lot to do with your and my life, because our life has everything to do with our confession. How do we speak? Are we talking right? What are we talking about? Do we know what we're talking about? Amen? And so we have to know that we're speaking in line with God's word. How many of you are born again here? Saved. People that know that they are saved. Well, when you got born again and you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and to your life. You did some steps there it came about when you put those principles into operation. Guess what? You got born again. You got saved. I know I enjoy Pastor Roma's testimony about him being born again, and he said everything looked different, and definitely in my case, everything looked different. It was May of 1987, and I was just amazed. I said to myself, if I would have known that this is what happened, I would have did this long time ago, but I was ignorant earlier, wanting to do my own thing. But there's such a change that takes place. And you did a few things. What you did is you spoke, you believed, you confessed, and it became a reality. Then you started to tell some people. Isn't that exciting? And Brother Hagen, amen. How many of you heard some Brother Hagen stories in this place? Several times, I'm sure. And Brother Hagen gave this testimony. He spoke something about the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him and talked to him about ministry and so forth and so on. And as Jesus was turning and leaving, he said, "Dear Lord Jesus, may I ask you a question?" And Jesus turned around. Imagine Jesus turning around, eh? Wow. And came towards him and he said, "Yes, you may." I don't know what his voice sounded like. "Yes, you may." "Yes, you may." No, I'm sure he has a good solid voice. I don't know. I've never heard his audible voice to that degree. And he said, "Yes, you may." And Brother Hagin mentioned, he said, "I've been preaching a sermon about the woman with the issue of blood. I have a few sermons on it, but there always seems to be something in my spirit that's there, but I just can't seem to pick it up. If I'm right, can you give me that?" And Jesus says, "You are right. My spirit has been trying to get over to your spirit, but you just couldn't pick it up." That in itself should make us so happy we can go home, knowing that God Almighty wants to get to us things, but we have to be sensitive enough to pick it up. And Jesus said, "Yes, my spirit has been trying to get over to your spirit this message, and get yourself a paper and a pencil and write this down." So he scrambled, he got himself a piece of paper, and Jesus says, if people would put these principles into practice, these principles, these keys into practice, they'll get anything that they want from me or from God the Father. Wow, that sounds amazing. And it's four simple principles, and it has to do with Mark 11, 23 and 24 as well. And the four simple principles is, the first one is say it. Everybody say say it. Number two is do it. Everybody say do it.
Do it.
Number three is receive it. Everybody say receive it.
Receive it.
And number four is tell it.
Tell it.
Amen. That's four simple things. And I was just thinking about, you know, when we got born again, we did some things. We called out to Jesus. We said, "Jesus, you know, come into my heart." We went and we did it. And guess what? We received it. Next thing you know, you're telling it. Hey, I got saved. I'm born again. I'm alive. So they're very simple. You should jot them down, because in your life, you're going to find out many things that you're going to have to speak it. You're going to have to talk about it. So Mark 11, 23 and 24. And again, I thank God for this church and for Pastor. You know, say, what do you believe about it? Well, I believe about that this church, amen, builds up people. This church puts people in the ministry. This church is growing people up in faith. Amen?
Yeah.
If you want to be in ministry, if you want to do things, get involved. Serve and be a blessing. And bless God. God will repay you and bless you. Amen? So thank God for this place. It's like a big garden, and these little plants are growing up in the things of God. And all of us should be excited that God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has desires. And doesn't care what age you are, it's never over, amen, until they say, you know, he was a good man or he was a good woman. So thank God it's never over. So over in Mark 11 and verse 12, it says, on the morrow, this is about Jesus, Mark 11, and we're going towards Mark 11, 23 and 24, but on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Everybody say hungry. So Jesus was just as human as you and me. You know, he gave up all of his deity when he came down to earth as a little bitty baby. And he had to live like you and me, but he was spotless, without sin. And he had to grow up in faith. The Bible says when he was 12 years old, he wanted to be about his father's business. And he was growing and he was developing. That's awesome. But he was hungry. So we all know what hunger is. Hey, that's pretty simple. And he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, he came. He saw leaves on it. He came if he might happily find something thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. The time of figs was not yet. And he said something unto it. Jesus, he went and said here in verse 14, Jesus said unto it, this fig tree, he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, I don't know how he did it. I wasn't there. He could have said, no man eat fruit of you forever. You know, he's mad. He's hungry. I don't know. Or he just could have just walked by and he said, oh, no fruit. No man eat fruit of ye forever. And he just walked away. And everybody heard it. He heard it. That's a simple thing. You know, Peter goes and says he cursed the tree. Well, it doesn't say that Jesus did any such a thing of being cursing things. No, he just said it. Because that's the power of the spoken word. You know, in the beginning, we are made in God's image. You and I are made in God's image. And he put a little bit of that inside of us. And we're created in his image and we speak. We are speakers. In fact, you cannot be born again unless you said something and you said, Jesus, come into my heart. Imagine if your mouth, you couldn't talk, maybe your tongue was damaged, you could still say it with your heart and you could say, Jesus, come into my heart. Your voice, you would still be speaking because you have a man on the inside of you. So Jesus said, no man eat fruit hereafter forever. So he said that and they all looked at it and they all went into town. A lot of things happened in verse 20 in the morning. As they were passing by, they saw the fig tree dried up at the roots. Peter calls to remembrance and said, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed. That's Peter's words, cursed. Jesus' words was just, no man eat fruit of ye thereafter forever. No man eat fruit of you. No man eat of thee hereafter forever. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. King James. So Peter said, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Or a better rendering is have the God kind of faith. He's saying that, hey, have the God kind of faith. I just spoke to a fig tree and I said, no man eat fruit thereof. And you saw what happened to it. And he said, have the God kind of faith. Now he's talking to his disciples and he's talking to every single one of us. Have the God kind of faith. Have a faith like Almighty God. Have the God kind of faith. And then he says in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, how many whosoevers we have? Are you a whosoever? Each one of us are whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. And then he pointed at Mount McKay. You know, and again, God does not want us to be moving big mountains in physical structures. He was looking at that mountain and he just talked to that fig tree, which was a natural tree. But yet he looked at that mountain and he says, you see that mountain over there? Whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Isn't that amazing? That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Isn't that amazing? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Jesus was saying, if you have the God kind of faith, which all of us do have the God kind of faith, if you've been born again, you've operated in the highest type of faith, you've called out to God, you've believed it in your heart, you spoke it, you received it, and you told about it, and he says that you can have the same thing if you will say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Then he goes and says the prayer in verse 24, which is the prayer of faith, that whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Amen? And so the power of the spoken word, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he that loves life are going to eat the fruit thereof. So what have you been eating? Did you know that everything that you have up to this very moment in time is everything that you've said, everything that you've believed up until this very present time. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. Everything you said, those people that are in prison, they're locked up. They've said some things, they did some things, they have exactly what they said, what they believe, and what they did right up until that moment of time. Yes, I understand that there's some false things that go on, and probably a percentage of them are thrown in there illegally, but that's not the point. The point is that a majority of them is the things that they've said, the things that they did, and the things that they've talked about. And so God wants us to know that we have that same kind of God-like faith on the inside of us. That if we would say something and believe it in our heart, it shall come to pass. Amen? It shall come to pass. So the first thing is, you've got to say it. Everybody say, say it. Matthew 24, 34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? How about you Bible students? You came up there, it was, you've heard it. The Bible school's on. Bible school. And then all of a sudden someone said it. You know what? I think I'm going to go to Bible school. You said it. I think I'm going to go to Bible school. You said it. Next thing you know, you did it. Hey, you filled out that application. You went to school. You received that diploma, and then you tell it now. Hey, I graduated. But it all starts with saying it. Isn't that amazing? We humans, I love to listen to people and watch people, especially after they've gone on a trip. I come up and I say, hey, how did it go? Oh, you know, we went over there and we saw this and we saw that and this happened and wow, look at that, and this happened. And so they give a little scenario of what happened. I said, wow. That's what happened. Wow. And I go my way. Not too far. Another person comes to the same individual. They said, oh, you went on a trip. Yeah. And this is what happened. Na, 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 na. And I could have wrote it right down, the exact same words, because they said the exact same thing. Amen. I'm not making it up. It's the truth, because people are people. And what's in your spirit is going to come out of that mouth of yours. And it's going to come out in some actions. It's going to come out on some words. Amen? Because that's who we are. On the inside of us, what we believe and what we speak, it always comes out. That's why I always go in line with what God's word says. Always go in line with what God's word says. Something comes to you contrary to the word, push it aside and say, no, I'm not going to mess with it. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. You know, Satan is a cruel one. He always comes to try to get people to say things about themselves that are lies. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Sometimes people, you know, again, some don't want to. That's fine. But there's some people that desire to be married. Amen. And he'll get them to say something like, well, I'm getting really old. Who said that? Amen? Then they said, well, it's too late. You know, when you say those words, it's too late, that means it's too late. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? Maybe a sickness, maybe a disease. And they say, well, the doctor said this, the doctor said that. Oh, well, I guess that's it. No, it's not it. It's never it, because with God, all things are possible. And he created you to man up, so to speak. And I've been sick, and I understand, and it is not a fun game. You know, it's easy when you're healthy. You got money in your pocket. What, you can't believe for prosperity? But when you're sick and you're confessing, hallelujah, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Maybe when you don't have much and you say, thank God he supplies and provides my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the first thing is say it, because out of the abundance of your mouth, something is going to come out of there. And I pray that God's word comes out in abundance. Amen? Amen. No town is too small for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For with God, all things are possible. People can come and fill that place. Hallelujah. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. I never want to doubt God ever, ever, never. Amen. Because God's word is true. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34. So the first thing we're going to do, just like Jesus said, you go ahead and you say it. Mark 5, verse 27, the woman with the issue of blood. And you know, the Bible talks about how she came through the crowd. First, she heard about Jesus. That's something that somebody else did. Somebody else preached unto her, and she picked up on that. Heard that people, he's doing good, going around healing. Acts talks about, she didn't have Acts, but the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And she said something inside of her heart. She says, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. That's what she said. That was her faith talking. And so it says over in Mark chapter 5 and verse 27, and he says, when she heard of Jesus, that's something somebody else said, she came in the press and touched his garment, for she said, everybody said, she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That's her saying it. Now she's doing it. She's pressing through the crowd. There's a bunch of bulls in front of her. Big guys. She's got to get down probably. And if they find out, if the Pharisees say, hey, there's a woman that's unclean here. Let's kill her. You know, religious people want to kill people. And so not Christian people want to kill people. Religious people that don't even know God want to kill people. And so she pressed in the crowd and she touched this garment. It's funny, the disciples said that Jesus said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, Jesus, a multitude is pushing on you, trying to touch you and are touching you. How could you say yet one person touched her? The one person that touched her was somebody that touched Jesus in faith. Amen? And Jesus will always come to the one who touches him in faith. Amen? Whether you think he's around or not, if you come to him, he will never forsake you. Amen? Even the worst wretch. Amen? There's no wretches in here, but even the worst wretch will come to Jesus. Jesus will heal them. Amen? Jesus will save their souls. With faith, that means our expectancy. The proud, he knows from afar off. The proud, they don't need God. They got all the money. They got all the fame. They got all the fortune. They don't need God. But guess what? Everybody needs God, because they'll all stand before him and have to give an account for their lives. And thank God that we got with the program to be able to learn, to grow, to develop in the things of God. And God is no respecter of persons. What he's did for one, he'll always do it for another. Always. If you build up your faith muscle, amen, and you go ahead and say, amen, with God, all things are possible. Kenneth Hagin Jr., Pastor Hagin, he said, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Amen. That's a good statement. That means that he's 80 whatever, same age as my mother, born in 1939. About 82 or 3. And so anyways, that's how old he is. But that's his statement. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. So that's a good confession. And so this woman, what faith? And it is, she said, if I may touch, I shall be whole. Another guy is David. How many know David? David did the same thing. 1 Samuel, Old Testament yet? Anybody in the Old Testament, there was a lot of mercy on them. That's why Gideon was doing fleeces and all kinds of things. You know, put some water on this, take some water off that. And so God had great mercy. But on us in the New Testament, all of us have to be led not by fleeces, which is, you know, if this happens, then I'm to do this. Or if this happens, then I'm to do that. No. We know God on the inside of us. He leads us by the still, small voice. He leads us by the inner witness. That means we are being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? We can all be led by the Spirit. Isn't that exciting? In the Old Testament, only the prophet, priest, and king. But in the New Testament, all of us get to hear the voice of God leading us. And you say, well, how do I be led? If you're going to do something and it feels all yucky and it's a big, like a big red light, hey, don't go there. But if you're going and all of a sudden it's a nice feeling, hallelujah, the more you think about it, the better you feel about it. I'm talking, it's not sin, amen? It's a good feeling, a velvety feeling. In the 70s, I had a velvet shirt. It was brown and you could put your hand on it and it was velour or velvet. It was velvet, I think. I don't know. But anyways, it was a good feeling. And that's what it is when you're being led by the Spirit of God. You got a good feeling. Yes, in this direction I will go and I shall go. And if it's a yucky feeling, guess what? Stay away, stay away, stay away. Because it's nasty and you don't want to mess with it. So David did some things. 1 Samuel 17:44, and the Philistine Goliath said to David. Now there's a lot happened. If you have faith and energy, go ahead and read about David as a boy and a shepherd boy. And he was going to see his brothers. One of his brothers was upset with him. He's bringing some cheese for his brothers. And then all of a sudden heard this Goliath hollering out there. And then there was all kinds of things. And then they said, if someone kills them, they're going to be tax-free. Amen. Tax-free, tax-free. And so they can go to the res and get gas for free. And they don't have to mess around and things like that. And all kinds of things. So all that went through. And finally, we come to this place. And the Philistine Goliath said to David, come to me, and I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. That's Goliath. He's tough. You know, he's 8 feet tall, apparently, maybe 9 feet tall. He's been fighting since he was a kid. Nationally speaking, he could chew up people and spit them out. He was tough. He was big. He was huge. He had a huge head, I'm sure. His head. David cut that head off just to let everybody know it was huge. But anyways, that's what he said to David. And then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. See, David knew some things. He was taking care of some sheep, and he killed a lion, and he killed a bear. How many lion and bear killers we have here? I looked on YouTube, and I see when a bear gets mad, you get out of the way, especially if they got cubs. The thing is crazy and fast. It can get from here to the back of the building in no time when he's mad or she's mad. The women are worse, they think. But anyways, the bears are fast. And so David killed a bear and killed a lion. He had that in his memory bank and in his pocket, so to speak. Hey, and why did he do it? Because he was anointed. Everybody say he was anointed. He was anointed. Hallelujah. He had some oil poured on his head, and he was taking care of those sheep, and the Spirit of God helped him. Amen. For sure, the Spirit of God helped him. And so he killed it. And so he's talking to this big Philistine now. And he said, you come to me with this and that, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled this day. See, David is saying something. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will kill you. I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give your carcass to the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild of the beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know. Isn't that something? All the earth may know. We are in 2021, and all the earth knows about David and Goliath. You go anywhere. You know David and Goliath? Sure, we know David and Goliath. You know David and Goliath? Sure, we know David and Goliath. Everybody knows. The whole world knows. Why? Because he said it. He believed it, and he said it. All the earth is going to know. And he killed that guy, and he took off his head off of him. The Bible says he didn't have a sword. He had a couple of rocks, and he cut that head off with the guy's big sword, and he took that head in his hand. Now, this is gross, but I've seen some nasty shows with Joseph, my son. Hollywood is getting pretty close to the real thing in 3D. But David, he took that big head, and you know, the head is not like a hospital room, nice and, you know, tidy and clean. We're talking blood everywhere. He's covered in blood. The big head is right here. And he's like, yeah! He's just covered in blood. This is nasty. This is rated R. And yet David did it. And he did it through the power of God. And so the thing that he did is he said it. He said it. Amen? The next thing is you got to do it. Everybody say, do it. You got to do it. Just do it. James 1:26 says, faith without works is dead. Kind of like that putting that blood on the doorposts. You know, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And you just got to do it with Jesus. Amen? We are righteous in Jesus. We can do things through Jesus. He helps us at our job through Jesus. Amen? Doesn't matter if they get rid of you, they fire you, they push you, they do this. Hallelujah. With Jesus, you always come out shining. Amen? You come out blessed. Hallelujah. For with God, all things are possible. And nothing is impossible to him who believes. And God wants us to be believers that it is possible. Hallelujah. And never cry. Amen? Yes, there's times when you cry, but I'm talking about a cry of doubt and unbelief. Don't cry in doubt and unbelief. Yes, there's sad things that we do cry about. I've cried. I've shed tears. I think I just shed a few tears earlier. And so there's times where you do shed tears, but I'm talking about doubt and unbelief. That cry is a nasty cry. And when the name Lazarus was in, that guy Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus is outside the tomb. Mary and Martha said, oh, Jesus, if you would have been here, he would have died. And the Bible says he groaned. Jesus groaned in his spirit. It's a groan. A doubt and unbelief is a groan. Amen. We think that Jesus can just do everything. Well, if he can just do everything, why doesn't the whole city be here right now? Amen. We got 110,000 people in that service. But obviously we don't, right? And so there's things that God has to work on people. They have a choice. They have an opportunity. Many times everybody's going to have opportunity, whether to receive, believe, or to doubt and do without. And so they said that. And then in the crowd, someone said, couldn't this man who did so many miracles prevented this man from dying? Immediately, again, he's groaned in his spirit. He groaned in his spirit. Why? Because there's just some things that ain't going to happen because God put it in our place to accept or reject. Isn't that something? What a big God we serve to give us such authority that we could say, yes, I believe in you, or no, I do not believe in you. I reject you. What a sad case, a sad person. And would have to be separated from God throughout all eternity is horrible. I wouldn't want to think about it. It's horrible. But thank God that there is people that will hear and will do these steps, accepting Christ. Amen. Say it. Do it. Faith without works is dead. Your belief will produce in word and action. What you have right now is because you believing, speaking, and acting right up until this very time. Mark 5:27, about the woman with the issue of blood, she came and she touched. Amen? She did something. Jesus knew about the faith. And 1 Samuel 17:48-51, this is the other part of David. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, came near to David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. You see, he's not cowering. He's running towards the Philistine. He put his hand in that bag. He took out a stone. He put it in the slingshot. And he smote the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk in the forehead. I'm sure he was a good shot anyways, but I'm sure God gave it some extra caliber and that thing went right in his head, and he fell face down on the earth, and David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in his hand, and David ran, stood on the Philistine, took that sword, drew it out and out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled, those chickens. Amen. And God prevailed that day with a little shepherd boy. And I believe I heard he was around 17 years of age. Amen. Not 20 like Bronson, but 17. Amen. No, thank God for 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds. And 100, Miss McQuaid, mother. Kathy's mother is that old, 100. She had a birthday. And so thank God. Amen. And if you want to live to be 110, then you go right ahead. You help yourself. You want to live to be 120? Help yourself. Whatever you can do, whatever you can believe, take the maximum. Amen. God wants you to make you a blessing. So say it, do it. The next one is receive it. Everybody say receive it. Many people ruin their prayers and don't get what God has for them because they spoke it and said, it's not working. All of heaven was there cheering them on. Hallelujah. The prayer has gone forth. Amen. Angels are in charge. Things are happening. Woo-hoo! Glory, glory, glory. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see it in the natural yet, but faith is giving substance that it is mine. I have it now. Thank you very much. Amen. But because of the person that turned from their good confession and ruined and spoiled the pie, wrecked it. Isn't that something? Hands could be laid upon them. A hand could be laid upon a person. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That is the moment there that they say, thank you, Lord, I believe that I received my healing. Whether you felt anything, whether there was any tingle, shimmer, or shake, the act of faith went forth, and it is our place and position to say, thank you, Lord, I believe. Let's all say that. I believe. I receive my healing. Amen. And then that's the case is closed. Amen. The lawyer has gone home and you've got the money because you won the case. Amen. And you're going your way. And then the enemy will say, well, did you really, really get healed? Yeah. That's right. Don't listen. Somebody said that. Who is that person? Awesome. Amen. Thank God. Amen. So you got to receive it. So don't wreck your prayers or undo your prayers by saying it's not working. Keith Moore, and I heard him. I was in the class. I listened to him. He said that he was believing God for a car. I'm going to believe God for a brand new car. And and there was another person that Brother Hagin said was believing for a vehicle. So he went and he ordered a top-of-the-line vehicle, everything on it. And he got a hold of Brother Hagin and said, Brother Hagin, I just want to say that the car is in and I don't have any money. So the man, obviously, his faith wasn't quite where that was to get that full manifestation of that vehicle. Amen? But Keith Moore said that he gave God a time clock. Says, you got to give me that vehicle right till this time. I'm giving it to you. And they were all, him and his wife, were all excited. Up, 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 up. And then the clock hit 12 and their feathers fell, he said, because they didn't get in it. They didn't get it. And God said, what are you so sad about? Are you going to rely on a clock with a mechanized clock to say where you're believing and where you're not believing? Pick that up and take it and believe. And he picked it up and took it and believed. And someone bought him a brand new Riviera. I don't know what year it was. Maybe 1977. Who knows? But he did. And that's his story. And he's sticking with it. So receive it. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. You got to believe that you receive it, and the having part, God Almighty is the one that moves and makes that thing come about. You did everything you can. Amen? You spoke where you could spoke. You acted where you can act. And you believe that you receive it. That's as far as you can go. Amen? And now it's God Almighty that works on your behalf. Because that, when you did those principles. But if you say, well, this ain't working, then it takes it out of his hands. Brother Hagin mentioned that story about that woman. And they prayed for her. And man, hallelujah, she was healed. She was healed. And then there was another meeting the next day, and they said, our sister is doing much better. She was in critical condition. She was pretty well almost dead. Our sister is doing much better. Let's all pray again. And immediately the voice of the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said, now she will die at this time. Because you took her out of my hands and back into your hands, full of doubt and unbelief. It was done, but it was undone because of foolishness and people's lack of knowledge and understanding. And so, have you know that when you pray, we are to believe that we receive right there. That is a fight of faith, especially if you don't see anything, especially if you don't feel any better, especially if things aren't changing. That's our place. That's our position. That's what we must do, is say, thank you, Lord, that I believe that I receive my healing or whatever you're believing God for. Believing is having. Faith is believing before you actually see it in manifestation. So thank God. We've got to say it. We've got to do it. We've got to receive it, and we've got to tell it. So believing that God is working on our case, that we are favored. Abraham was a great man of God, and of course the forefather of our faith. And over in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. And now Abraham was an old man. A promise was given to him by God. Oh, I thank God for the promises. I don't know how many promises are in the book. Somebody said 66,000 or 32,000. I don't know. But there's a lot of promises in the book. But Abraham was promised, you're going to have a child. Your name's not going to be Abraham. It's going to be Abraham, the father of many nations. Now, when you're dealing with cases like this, the Bible says that Sarah laughed at the beginning. She says, that's foolish. I'm an old lady. I'm going to have a baby. And even Abraham laughed. But guess what? Who gets the last laugh? They picked back up where the promise was. That means that they were in doubt, but they got in faith. Amen? They were in doubt, they got in faith. Hallelujah. And so, it wasn't an immaculate whatever conception like Jesus. Amen? Abraham had to spend some quality time with his wife. Okay, this isn't that kind of a class. But Romans chapter 4, it says here, Romans chapter 4, and verse 19, it says here, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. So that means that he had a promise, but he considered not the circumstances and the situation. He had a promise, but he considered not the circumstance and the situation. He considered not. So sometimes you got to not consider what you've, or the way it looks, and the way as things have been said. Amen? And a lot of times when you're dealing with other people, they have a will as well. And so that's the rough part about it. The Bible says, if any two of you on earth agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done. That's the prayer of agreement. And so when you're doing it, on your own, believe to the high heavens. Amen. But when you're dealing with someone else, their faith has to come into play. Again, God is not into witchcraft, saying, I'm going to get, okay, Nathan, take me to Mongo's again. And so that was manipulation, and that would be witchcraft, and you don't do that. Amen? You can't force anybody to do anything. It's free. Come freely to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Amen? And God's all into that. So when it come to Abraham and his wife, they had to both come into agreement, and they consider not their own body. Now dead, being about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 19. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. And the Bible says that in James, that he who asks for God's wisdom Don't waver. Don't waver. He'd be like the waving sea. One day I got it, one day I don't got it. One day I got it, one day I don't got it. Don't stagger and don't waver. He staggered on at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Everybody say strong in faith. So he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded what God promised, he was well able to perform it. Amen? That's our Abraham. So you got to say it, you got to do it, you got to receive it, and then you got to go ahead and tell it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Glory to God. And that's the message. It has to do with speaking. It has to do with your words, my words, by telling it. Amen? Speaking it. By doing it. By receiving it. Amen? And then telling the goodness of God in the land of the living. So thank God, those watching by live stream, thank God that God's Spirit and God's presence is with you right where you are at. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is here. Let's all thank Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering unto us, speaking unto our hearts. We thank you, Father, for this awesome message that you've given concerning saying it, concerning doing it, concerning receiving it, and concerning telling it. We thank you that that's your word according to scriptures, and people of faith throughout the Bible, hallelujah, have said the same thing. They said it, hallelujah, they did it, and they received the promise of God, and they're telling it, hallelujah. Hebrews is full of it. Faith people operating in God. Oh, Father, we want to give you praise and glory and honor. And there we, when we don't know what to do, hallelujah, there's the direction. Hallelujah, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. If you're lacking in joy, you got to stir it up. Amen. You got to say, thank you. I'm glad in you, Lord Jesus. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. And I praise you. And what I believe comes out of my mouth. Go ahead and say something. What's in your heart? Amen. In line with God's word. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You said that we're strong in the Lord in the power of His might. You said, let the weak say I'm strong. So we say we're strong. Hallelujah. We don't even have to pray about that. You said, go ahead and say, you're strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. You said, don't worry. Amen. We cast our cares on you, so we're not going to worry. We're going to enjoy, hallelujah, our life that you've given us. Oh, Father God, thank you. The Bible says that he who finds his life will lose it. There's some that found it, great riches, great fame, great fortune, but they'll lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. You'll wake up and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for the life and life more abundantly you've given me. Thank you for the joy and thank you for the peace. Thank you for the prosperity and the blessings. Oh, you're a good God. And we worship you and we praise you. Hallelujah, because you're faithful. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their children ever begging bread. Hallelujah. No beggars here. Hallelujah. Because God is a provider. Amen. He provides jobs. Amen. He opens doors of opportunities. Those in ministry, hallelujah. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. That doesn't sound like a lot of stress. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your holy name. And you are a healer. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil. Amen. No oppression of the devil here in Jesus' name because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Breaks every shackle of demonic activity. Whispers, lies in the ears of God's people. Doubt and unbelief. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have faith. Hallelujah. And we can say and shall not doubt in our heart. Be removed, be cast into the sea in Don't doubt in our heart. Believe those things you say. It'll come to pass. Hallelujah. For all things are possible. Sebo kubrange stambarama senderamasa. O makasekaranamashti karama senderabakita tatarakise. O voko sokoroma senderamasetaramasa. O basa. Thank you for direction. Those that are looking for direction. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one who speaks. Say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you that you're the great unseen one in our lives. Working. Hallelujah. Sebo kubranga sebarama shtibaroba sebarabasi. Izba kuburibishtebarama satarabasa. Amen. Great joy. Hallelujah. Great joy. For the people of God. Oh, makaseka rabasa daramasa. Oh, is the vakishe maramatambaranga setarabokushu. Oh, that's right. Great joy for the people of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're weak, amen. Turn up the joy. Do some acting. Do some speaking. Hallelujah. You don't even have to pray about it. You just got to get excited about Jesus and how he saved your soul from a burning hell. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We use that prayer of praise and worship, and we worship you and we praise you. We say, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, making manifest the savor of his knowledge by you in every single place. We bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. You called this the glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Woo! Hallelujah. You said the glory of your arabasi kitakrasa. Halabokushebarabasikarabasa. Oh makasitarabasana ramasa. Once you've tasted of the Lord, you'll say that I tasted of the Lord and the Lord is good. Amen. And his mercies endure forever. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. Sheku marakisitarabasa. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Not drunk with natural things, but filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the best feeling. Hallelujah. Though we walk by faith and not by sight, but when the presence and the power of God is evident. Hallelujah. You feel good. Hallelujah. I feel good in the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. No doubt. No unbelief. Hallelujah. Is allowed in here. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ lives in here. And I'm talking about your tabernacle, your body. Your mind, amen. Help all of us, Father, be good speakers when we speak about ourselves, when we speak about others. Thank you, Lord, for the precious washing of the blood of Jesus in our lives. We love each person and we thank you, Lord, that they are people of love and that they make a choice to walk in love in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being so open.